Well, tonight's service at Calvary Assembly, be a lot of good music there, and our choir is going to sing. There'll be a plus couple other choirs, and our bell choir also putting on a song. So we thank God for that time, someone mentioned the ball game at 4, and Lord willing, we'll be ahead 3 or 4 touchdowns by then. The Lord's going to teach me a lesson about this ball game stuff. Every time I try to make a prediction, it kind of goes the other way, so we'll stop that eventually. I remember one of the first hospital visits I made, going to see someone who had surgery, and it was relatively simple surgery, but I went to see him at lunchtime, and I often try to see people around the lunchtime because then they won't be having tests, and so I try to catch them then. And early, people were, when they'd be eating their lunch that the hospital provided, they would say, "Oh, I don't want my ice cream. You want the ice cream?" And so I would, be getting all these extra desserts, which wasn't healthy for me. But this particular man, he was eating with aggressively and looked to be real thankful. And I asked him how he was doing. He said, "Fine." And he was eating orange Jell-O and chicken broth. So I looked at that and I thought, "Oh, that's not too exciting." But before I left, I said, "Well, how's lunch?" He said, "Oh, it's like a feast. I haven't eaten for 2 days." And I left really thinking, "Oh, wonder maybe for supper tonight, orange Jell-O chicken broth." You know, his thankfulness was contagious. It really was. And his thankfulness really matched the desperation of his heart or of his condition. He needed some food. And the food he was provided for was oh so good and just right. And Jesus met 10 desperate people in today's gospel lesson who were really, no one was going to help them. And they couldn't help themselves. And so how we could identify with those 10 lepers as they came to Jesus and they needed help. To get leprosy back then was a real terminal kind of experience. It's almost like for today, if a person would get AIDS, it would affect them physically in so many ways. It would affect all their relationships, and people would draw back from them unnecessarily and those kind of things. But that was the life of a leper. And they came and they cried out to Jesus for mercy in a loud voice. And if you're here today feeling like, that's kind of like my life. My life is, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like I'm on a dead-end street. Be like a leper in that manner and call out to God with the loudness of your heart and desperation, and he'll help. You know, there's a promise in one of the Psalms, Psalm 145, that says this: the Lord is near to those who call out to him, who call out to him in truth. So if you're desperate today, Christ would help you, just like he helped those 10 lepers. And he heals the lepers. He touches them where they're at. And when we go through hard times too, I think God would have us know sometimes all we see is the valley. But right in the midst of that valley, we'll find Christ is ready to do something good for us, to help us. So when life is real difficult for you, look for God to begin to move on your behalf. He'll certainly be there with his presence. And you'll get to know him in a wonderful and dramatic way. But Jesus heals the 10. One comes back. One. And the Bible says, in a loud voice, same kind of loud voice, his thanks matched the intensity of his desperation. And how true I think that is for all of us. And this week, and Thursday in particular, and through our life, our thankfulness to God matches the realization of our need, how much we need him. So the one thanks, Jesus, with a loud voice, falls down at his feet and gives loud praise to God. And Jesus says, where's the other 9? We're not 10 cleansed. And there's a lesson for us there to watch the ingratitude of our own hearts. I'm not sure if we're thankful for, 1 out of 10 blessings God sends, or for every 10 of us here, there's one who is really, at this point, coming to worship and saying, thank you, God, for you. How you've blessed, how you brought me through this week, whatever your life situation calls for it. And Jesus said, Luke says the man was a Samaritan. And a Samaritan would be an extra thankful attitude because nobody did anything good for Samaritans. They were kind of there. People didn't want to be around them. They felt like, well, nobody's going to help us. Maybe God won't even help us. This one came. And so this morning, if you're feeling like, well, I don't know if God will help me tonight. I'm just kind of here as another Sunday. You know, would God even do anything for me? Turn to Christ with an open heart and with a loud voice, and he'll meet you. It'll be a life-changing thing. And Jesus says to the man, your faith has made you well, or your faith has made you whole. And those are different words that Jesus used than he used when he talked about the man would be healed or cleansed. And that word well or made whole means to be at peace with God on the inside. So what Christ could do for us, not just help us physically, he'll give us a healthy body that we can get here and serve him. That's great. But he'll do something else. He'll make us whole. He'll make us whole in our hearts to be close to him. And coming to him with a loud voice puts your heart open to that. Beware of the sin of ingratitude. If we see ourselves as the nine, and often we are, beware that that's an unhealthy, really sinful lifestyle to have ingratitude. In Romans chapter 1, when it describes life without God, it says this: people do not honor God as God, nor do they give thanks to him. Nor do they give thanks to him. And if that's a description of your heart, that most often you just take God for granted or not give him thanks, that know that's a sin, and it's a sin that can be repented of. You can say, God, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be like the nine. I want to notice you and what you're doing for me. To repent of ingratitude is real important, because ungrateful people are unhappy people. And ungrateful people miss Christ. They really do miss Christ. That's what happened to the nine in the passage. So to thank God for God and to move to him in gratitude, I want the rest of the message just to focus in on that one who came to Jesus and gave thanks. And hope your heart is really focused in on the person of Christ in this Thanksgiving season. First of all, to thank God for being your Savior. Your Savior. He made the man well in his heart. And you and I, we're spiritual lepers. We don't have a prayer. Nobody's going to help us. We can't help ourselves in terms of getting at peace with God. Christ would come and change that. Often we don't thank God for being our Savior. We take him for granted because we begin to think of the things that we do. We have the church thing going. Got some Bible knowledge stuff. We have 10 good deeds this week or whatever you're relying on. We begin to think, hey, we're pretty righteous. We're doing okay. But God would have us know that we're poor in spirit without his intervention. You know, we're in desperate need. We're like the guy just starting off on the marathon race, hadn't run much hardly at all. Going to need his strength every step of the way. To know that our life without God is really a lot of brokenness. God's word calls our best attempts at goodness filthy rags. That's all I could come up with, like being a spiritual leper. And to know that even this morning, as we come and worship Christ, we only worship God through God's grace and his mercy. If God were to remove his grace and mercy from us just for this time, the short worship service, you know, would experience his holiness without his love. If he would remove his kindness to us and say, I'm just going to judge, if he would judge us just on a basis of, say, two commandments, love God with everything we are, love our neighbor as ourself, we would say, I need a Savior. I get a failing mark. I need his intervention. And my life is headed in the wrong direction. To know the Savior who could change us and make us different. We were talking about hell on Wednesday night as a as a Bible study, and just how the doctrine of hell is as real in the Bible as the teaching on heaven. That's a real place because it reflects rebellion against God. And I know when I was praying to receive Christ years ago and began to follow Him one step at a time, I will say I was motivated not just because of the love of Christ, which was so real and important to me. I was also motivated because of this feeling apart from God. Feeling like I was not at peace with God, and I couldn't build a bridge myself. Christ had to come and build that bridge. And I felt like I was going to be separate from God from all eternity because I was basically living my life that way without Him. So to know somebody has intervened for us. Thank Jesus, He's your Savior. When your head hits the pillow tonight, you could say, thank you, God, not only for the blessing of knowing You, I wasn't in hell today. And very well, I could have been. Different parts of the Bible, when they depict people in hell, it's interesting, nobody in hell in Scripture is looking up and saying, how did I get here? I don't deserve to be here. This is not fair. Most people have the attitude, I was against God in life. I'm against God for eternity. And that's a terrible condition of the heart. But here comes a Savior for which we give thanks today. The Savior for me and for you. And He says, I come to seek and to save you. I can give you peace. You can be like this leper. As desperate as he was, we are that desperate spiritually. Imagine a religion, for example, where God comes and saves the people. Could you imagine that? Where God comes and saves the people. Most religions, you know, that men make up, it's us trying to be good so God will pay us some attention. Sometimes it's a motivation for maybe you coming to worship or following God. If I'm good, God will pay me some attention. God says, I come to rescue you from disaster. And how we could give thanks to Him. So picture us here surrounded by terrorists around our building here. And sometimes this happens in certain places in the Middle East. And they're going to come in and they're going to just wipe everybody out. But there's one person here who's the way out because they know the way to life. And if we follow them, we say, I'm going with Him. I'm going to sit as close to Him as possible. And when He leaves, when He goes, I'm going to walk with Him. That's who I want to be close with. That's Jesus, the way for us, the way to life. And He was the way to life for the leper. So this morning, give thanks. If you're a Christian, give thanks to Christ for being your Savior. You need Him today as desperately as when you first turn to Him on some measure of faith. If you've not turned to Him, if you sense, I'm like those lepers, the nine. God has done good things for me, but I never stopped and came to Him myself. You could do that. If you do that, you'll find Christ who will forgive your past, give you a purpose for your present, and give you heaven for the future. That's just a part of the good news of our Lord. Be a thankful person for Jesus being your Savior, like He was for the leper. Secondly, thank Jesus for being your Lord and leader. Your Lord and leader. Sometimes Him being Lord intimidates us because we want to be Lord. I heard a preacher say this week, each one of us turn into little Saddams. You're familiar with Saddam, his life. You look at yourself in the mirror if you're not following Christ and say, good morning, little Saddam. You know, what terrible things do we have planned today? Going to mess up my life and wreak havoc on everybody around me. Everybody follows somebody. Everybody really does follow somebody. You might be following the crowd, some religious person working their way to God, or you just might be following yourself. Christ would step in and say, follow me. He's Lord. That's good news for us because we get lost and we get confused. We want to know what's going to happen next, for example. Should we just guide ourselves or turn to Christ? We do crazy things. We consult the fortune teller, check out the astrology chart, check out the palms. If you're a sports fan, I hear on the radio, funny, crack me up, the offers. I got the pick of the week. Okay, I know who's going to win the ball game. You call me up, give me $10, I'll tell you. See, if I really knew, I wouldn't tell you. I'd just put all my money on it. And I would never have to bother you again. Who are you following? Follow Christ. He will guide us one step at a time. Lord, I don't know what job to take. You could trust Him. He'll guide you. Lord, who should I befriend? Connect me with long-term relationships. God will provide that. It's the Lord's faithful, like the story of the family in the hot air balloon in Europe. They got on the hot air balloon. They said, we're going to City A. So up they go. They direct the balloon there, but the wind blows. They end up in City B. They say, how in the world did we get here? This is not where we wanted to be. They start to look around. They say, this is a pretty good place. We should have planned City B in the first place. They get up in a balloon again. Let's go to City A again. The wind blows. They're in City C. They land. This is a place. This is a good place too. We see God's blessing all over the place. God guiding us in spite of ourselves. He'll be Lord. He'll be Lord in your obedience. You know, in the Bible, faith and obedience are never separated. Did you know that? You might say, I trust Christ, I really do. If I'm up the creek, I know He'll help me. But in the Bible, everybody who really trusted the Lord wanted to obey Him. Their steps followed through with where their heart was. And you're always at your most joyful, fulfilled, when you are trusting and following Christ as Lord. In my own life, I may have said it before, I hope to say it many times. I've never regretted following or obeying Christ. I never said, oh, shouldn't have done that. But every time I don't follow or obey Him, I give myself a headache, a heartache, grieve the Lord, and it goes into ashes. But to thank Him for being Lord, and one more thanks to the Lord, and you can make your list. I picked Savior, Lord, and then friend. Thank God for being your friend. That's, again, something unique to Jesus, as above all other false gods. He's our friend, best friend. When people get in trouble, often a believer going through a difficult time will say this, I don't know how people do it or get through this without Christ. How do people get through this without Christ? That is so true. And sometimes the trial is so difficult, we say, I don't know how I'm going to get through it with Christ. But He's faithful. And we were built to be in friendship with God, and then from that health, significant friendships with others. Billy Graham's favorite song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We've been a friend, and we've had friends in our life when we have sins and griefs. They just pile on us with more grief. God is not like that. He'll sustain you and uphold you. Thank Him for Him. Think of the friend He is to you. He said, I've called you friends because I make known to you what my Father has told me. So we pick up God's love letter and we say, Lord, tell me about yourself. This book is full of good news. Gospel rescue stories. We see ourselves in that rescue mission. Think of Jesus as the power of His friendship. He says, all authority in heaven and earth given to me. And at the same time, he said, I'm gentle and humble in heart. Do you like a friend who's proud and always putting you down? Christ is not that type of friend. Gentle and humble in heart, yet all authority. Well, I'd be glad to be a friend of someone who's in charge, and we faithfully follow. And the Lord would give us in an uncertain world these things. I think Mike prayed about it at the beginning. He gives us Himself for self-worth and security. So we don't have to mess up other people by trying to get that from them? Christ. Your self-worth and your security in Him. He gives faithfulness for the future. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. At Thanksgiving and maybe throughout your life, you do this. Think back when you were in grade school. God rescued you through those times. He was faithful. And then on into the junior high years. Bouncing off the wall. Full of energy. He was there. And then in your present. He has never left you or forsake you. To thank God for God. And in light of His mercies, would you surrender your life to Him? Would He be at the top of your Thanksgiving list? You know, just say, Lord, I feel like that one leper. I can come back and thank you, and you'll make me whole. We do have the choice of being like the nine, and if we do, we pretty much don't make any significant changes in our hearts. But the one came and said, Lord, you're for me. Thank you. Might we give thanks to Jesus for Jesus this season, and then spread His mercy and grace to others. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you mean to us, that we wouldn't fail to give you thanks for the daily blessings we take for granted, daily bread. We have a family we sometimes pass over in the midst of our own rush to responsibility or even supposed spirituality. And also, Father, we give thanks for family. We give thanks for the people in our lives who do count for forever. And, Father, I pray that as a lifestyle, we'd be like that leper who came and came to you, Jesus, and you made a life well and a life whole. Might that be the experience of each one of us, dear Lord. Let your Spirit grab us to yourself in every way as we walk with you throughout this week. Bless those in particular who might not be at peace with you and just things are confusing to them. It takes a little turn in their life and a look to the Savior to say, help, Lord, be my Savior. Lord, you'll make them a living miracle by your salvation. Just bless them with your peace. Hear us as we praise you in our song. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.